Well, last week we began talking about this thought of there is grace for your place. There is grace for your place. And for those who may not have been here or maybe weren't watching, you know, just in a snippet, what were we talking about? That a lot of people try to define what they're supposed to do by finding their place. But you've got to understand that God has wired us and has graced us to do something. God has not graced us to do everything, right? In other words, God wired you to do something. I said this a couple weeks ago. He didn't like a manufacturer taking a bunch of parts and shipping them to you and say, here, I don't know what to make of this. Make whatever you want. But that's the way a lot of people live their lives. Like, well, I guess I'll do this, or I guess I'll try that. What if you went to your maker? What if you went to your creator, God, and said, Lord, what did you wire me for? See, Apple don't send you. You don't go out and just buy a bunch of wires and a bunch of circuit boards and a bunch of different kind of components and say, okay, I think I'm going to make a phone out of this. The maker actually makes the phone because the maker knows how to make the phone. And they make it with certain functions and certain wirings and certain things. And that's what God does. So God didn't just put you on the planet and go, make of your life whatever you want. And you know what? God doesn't grace people who live their life that way. But here's the beautiful thing. You don't have to figure out how to wire yourself. All you got to figure out is what did God wire me for? And we're going to talk a little bit. We're going to start talking about some ways that we can figure that out and find that out. God will lead you. He will help you to know what he wired you for. Right? I mean, he wired me to do what I'm doing right now. Now, you may think, well, you got a lot of shorts. Okay, I'm working on my shorts. I'm working on, you know, doing it better. But I know what my call is. I know what my gifting is. And each and every person has a call and a gifting. The Bible says the call and the giftings of God are without repentance. God never goes, you know what, I kind of wired you for that, but never mind. Just go ahead and do your own thing. No, God never goes, he never repents of the way he wired you. He never repents of the way he created you. You know, we live in a world where there's a lot of confusion. Identity confusion, gender confusion, all kinds of confusion going on. Instead of people just embracing, this is what God made me. Now there's a lot of people living their lives in a way that God didn't intend for them to live it. But God didn't make a mistake when he put a particular gender in them. God did not make a mistake when he wired you the way he wired you, right? He intentionally did it because he knew that this is what's going to make you. And here's the problem. The reason that there's a lot of frustration in the world is it's a lot of people trying to live their life in a place that they're not graced to live it. They're trying to do things that God has not graced them to do. It's like we've said so many times around here. Don't go out and say, "Oh, I'm going to do this," and then you start doing it. Oh, so God, we've put this together. We decided to start this business. We decided to do this thing. You know, God, we just ask you to bless it. Did you know God's not obligated to bless everything you do? Let's think about that. He is not obligated to bless everything you decide to do. But what if we did this? What if we went to the Lord and said, Lord, I've been having these thoughts. I've kind of had this idea of a business, or I've had this idea of this project, or I've had this idea of doing this or doing that. What's your thoughts on it? The Bible tells us in Psalms, it says, to acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways, and he would direct your path. Well, how can he direct your path if you're not acknowledging him? That's right? Right? So that's a big key, right? But it's the same thing with our lives. It says, okay, Lord, I've got certain desires. I've got certain things that I like. I mean, there's certain things that my attention's really drawn to. Is that what you wired me to do? And we got to be careful because there's many there's many attention grabbers in the world. And a lot of people, they're like, I see them doing it and they're successful at it, so I'll try that. And then they fail. Well, what the heck? Just because you maybe like something a little bit doesn't mean that that's necessarily your wiring. I love leading worship. Now, I know what you're thinking. Well, you're not very good at it. That's okay. I didn't say I was a worship leader. I said I would love to do that, but I know that I'm not wired for that, so I don't try to do it outside of situations like what happened today, right? I was just being a facilitator. But the fact of the matter is, I know that's not my calling. And so I try to, what they call in sports, stay in my lane. See, I tried to facilitate, but now we've got to the part of service where I'm in my lane. Now I'm comfortable. Now I'm like, okay, and now I'm ready to preach. Now I'm ready to teach the word because this is what I'm called to do, right? I would love to be a worship leader. But that's not my wiring, nor is it my ability, right? So I learned a long time ago, I didn't want to be like one of those people on American Idol, right? Everybody and all their family swears they can sing, but all the rest of us in America can tell, no, honey, you can't sing. This is not your gifting. This is not your calling. This is not your wiring. You need to keep fine. So this is what we said last week, and we're getting on to some scriptures here. We said last week that many parents try to encourage their kids by saying, honey, you can be whatever you want to be. You can do whatever you want to do. You're bright. You're sharp. We understand what the sentiment is. The sentiment is, come on, we believe in you. But we got to be careful with the messaging because the messaging we can send is they can go out and do whatever they want to do. They can be whatever they want to be. And if they're a follower of Jesus Christ, that is not true. Even if they're not a follower of Jesus Christ, that's not true. But if you're a follower of Christ, no, you can't go and do whatever you want to do. Your destiny is not for you to decide. Your destiny is for you to discover. Because God's already designed you for a destiny. Amen? Amen. Now, that's kind of a tough message in the day and age we live in because everybody's about, I want to do what I want to do, when I want to do it, how I want to do it. I don't want nobody telling me what I can do. But yet, then people pursue these different things, and then they wonder why they're frustrated. Well, if I can just become famous, if I can just get this much money, if I can do all these people that have actually attained all those things, if I can get enough toys, if I can just get the right group of friends, how many people have we heard of that have actually attained all those things? And then you read in the paper or see on the news that they committed suicide. Why? Because they were not fulfilled in the toys. They were not fulfilled in how much money they had. They were not fulfilled in the circle of friends they had. Right? It's because they weren't focused on what am I wired for and who am I wired to do it for. How many know that matters? Every person on the planet, God put a gifting in. Some of them are in their gifting, but they're using it for the wrong purpose. Right? You got people that out there that can write lyrics. I mean, they're secular. They're ungodly. They're living for the enemy. Right? And living in sin left and right. But man, they can write lyrics at the drop of a hat. There's no effort to it. I remember one time I sat down, I was gonna write a song. And I sit down and I tried to write a song, and it's just like, man, it's laborious for me to come up with these lyrics, you know. But then you got people that are just like, man, they can write songs just left and right, and it's like, man, how do they do that? That is amazing. Writing a book. How do people write books? I don't get it. But there are some authors that they just write book after book. Rick Renner, man. That brother's writing books. It seems like he comes out with a new book almost every other month. He's a great author, but that's his gifting. Right? That's why I made the statement that I made last week. Like, you know, some people, one way you can tell, you know, when you're in your gifting is because you can do something that you make it look easy what other people labor at doing, right? I used to play drums in high school, and then I played drums for our church back in Pendleton for years. I was a Sunday night drummer. Right? A friend of mine lives in Tulsa now. He was a Sunday morning drummer. He was younger than me by 10 years, but we were really good friends. And, you know, I would play on Sunday night, and, you know, I'm decent, right? But then Joe would get up on the drums, and man, and it's like, dude, made me look bad. It's like, oh, my gosh, this guy is good. And then you see some of these other drummers around, and it's like, oh, my gosh, they're amazing, right? They made look easy what was a little bit of a challenge for me. Now, I was sufficient. I was fine in high school, you know, on the drum line and all that kind of thing. You know, I was a decent drummer. But I'm not wired. That's something that was a skill that I wanted to learn. It was fun. It was an exciting, more of a hobby than a calling. And so, I mean, I learned to do certain things, and it was okay. But then you got other people that's like they haven't already been playing for very long, and then they just hear it and they can play it and they make it look so easy. And it's like, holy smoke. Well, that's probably more of their gifting, right? Where I made it look, it was more of a challenge for me. And I had to really practice hours and to be good or to be decent. You know, they're like good with hardly without any practice. And it's like, holy smoke. Well, that's probably more their gifting. Whereas it was more of a hobby or more something that I liked. But when I started focusing on my call and began to develop my call, man, people ask me, how can you stand in front of people? I could talk to one or I can talk to, in fact, the more people's out there, the easier it is for me, actually. I could probably preach, I'd be even more comfortable with 1 million people or 1,000 people than I am with even who's here today. You know, but I'm having a great time. It's not hard for me to do what I do because this is my gifting, this is my calling, this is what I love to do. It's what God's called me to do, right? So our destinies is not for us to decide, they're for us to discover, okay? So I want to turn our attention to, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Oh, praise the Lord. I can do it. I'm just looking at the clock. Forgive me for thinking out loud. Okay. All right, today's message in this series is called Finding Your Place. I probably won't finish it today, and that's fine. We can talk more about it next week. The series is called There is Grace for Your Place. But today I want to talk to you about finding your place. Let's start talking about ways that you can find what your place is. And we're going to look at a few scriptures to help us to see that. All right. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it's kind of our foundation scripture. Let's look at that real quick, kind of read through it. There is one part towards the end that I really want to focus on, and I think it's important for all of us to know. But he says here in verse 12, he says, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. Now, he's not teaching a science class here. He's taking us somewhere. He's using a physical analogy to drive home a spiritual truth. All right, so the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. See, now he's switching over to that spiritual truth. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free, but we have all been baptized into one body. How many bodies? One body. So there's only one body of Christ. But we've all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share that same Spirit, the Holy Spirit. All right? Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one. If the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear says, I am not part of the body because I am not an eye, would that make it any less part of the body? Let me throw this in there. Would it make it any less important part of the body? No. Every part is important. Can you imagine the ear going, well, I want to be an eye? Because, I mean, the eye, it's always front and center. Everybody talks about beautiful eyes. You don't ever hear anybody go, oh, you have such beautiful ears. Man, your ears are so beautiful. Right? Man, I was attracted to you because of your amazing ears. You don't, and, you know, and so the eye and the ears, they're having this debate. And then finally the ear goes, well, since I can't be front and center, since I can't be the part that I want to be, then I'm just not going to be a part at all. Right? And so the body doesn't do that. My ears have never complained to me about being where they're at. In fact, when I've accidentally caught my ear on something, it lets me know, hey, I like being where I'm at. Quit trying to remove me. Right? You know, anybody ever had a mom that grabbed you by the ear and you just kind of felt like it was going to get pulled off? Right? No, you're pretty happy with your ears being right where they're at. Why? Because ears have a specific function. And the ear would make, having ears right here would be a horrible place to have ears. Even if the ear was trying to be an eye, having ears right here would make it very horrible, right? What about having eyes on the side of your head? Eyes like, I want to be an ear. I'm tired of being front and center. I want to be a little obscure. I want to be under all that hair where I can't be seen in some cases, right? But no, each one of us have a part to play. There are many parts of the body, but there's not a single part of our body that is not significant. The seen and the unseen. We talk about eyes and ears. What about the pancreas? Nobody ever sees the pancreas. I mean, it's hidden deep inside the body. It's behind skin and tissue and blood and everything else that's going on in the body. I'm not sure exactly. I'm not a doctor, so I'm not exactly sure where the pancreas is. It's somewhere in here. I know it's in here somewhere, right? But just because we can't see it, and there's, how many know there's a lot of parts in our body we don't even think about on a daily basis? We might think about our hands because we see them and they help us grab stuff. But what about all the parts of our body that are doing tremendous, very important work, but they're never seen? You never feel them, and there's many parts of the body you don't want to feel because when you start feeling it, that means there's a problem, yeah. Right? But does that make them any less important? No. Is the kidneys important, right? Is the liver important? I don't want to be a liver. What if the liver decided I don't want to be a liver anymore? No, every part is very important, whether it is seen or rather it is not seen. And so he goes on to say here, he says, I am, verse 16, if the ear says, I am not part of the body because I am not an eye, would that make it any less part of the body? Absolutely not, is the insinuation. Verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? If the whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? Right? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put, verse 18, let's focus on 18. But our bodies have many parts, and God, who? God. God has put each part just where he wants it. God has put every part. God puts people in the places that he wants them to be. Now, I don't want you to get concerned because God is not in the habit of going around saying, I want you... I know this is going to make you miserable, but I'm going to make you serve me in this capacity for the rest of your life. That's not the way God functions. We'll get into that probably later, probably next week even. We'll talk more about that next week because there's a scripture. I'll go ahead and give you a precursor. There is a scripture that we're going to be looking at that says God does both to will and to do of your good pleasure, of his good pleasure, excuse me. So in other words, God gives you the will and the desire, right? So you know that whatever God's called you to do, he's going to put the want to in there. Amen? In fact, I'll go ahead and tell you this. The want to is probably already there, even whether you recognize it or not. And we'll learn how to recognize that, right? But he says here, but I want you to see that part. That it is God who puts those parts in place. God decided where my pancreas needs to be. You know, God decided where my liver needed to be, where my colon needed to be, where my heart needed to be. You know, God decides where those things, and I think he did a pretty good job. It's been pretty effective for 54 years now, and I'm looking forward to a lot more years because God knew exactly how to design me, and I'm happy about the way he did it. You know, in those years where I just felt like, man, I just, oh my gosh, I want to be a worship leader, man. That would be amazing just to be able to get up and lead people in worship and encourage them and strengthen them and just get them motivated. Man, oh man, being a worship leader would be amazing. But then I had to realize, wait a minute, that's another part of the body. That's Heather's part. That's somebody else's part. That's not my part. That's not my part to play. I was watching a football game this week and this weekend, of course, and it was Alabama. But anyway, is there anybody else to watch? I mean, really? I mean, anyway, I'm sorry. Got distracted there. But anyway, I was watching this game, and they were talking about one of the defensive guys, and they really had to coach him this week because last week they played against a team. We won barely, but it's because our defense was trying to do things. People on the defense were trying to play roles that they weren't designed and weren't, that's not their position. That's why we talk about staying in your lane, right? And so they coached up this guy this past week, and he played amazing yesterday. But what they had to help him see, because his frustration was, he's got his role, and his job was to kind of help, you know, when the last play's done and he starts letting everybody know what defensive scheme we're going to run this time, where to be and all. So he's there to kind of, he's kind of like the quarterback of the defense. He's helping people get in their place. You ever seen a quarterback? He's there and then he all of a sudden he tells somebody, no, go out wide or no, the running back's way right. No, you need to be right by me. Because the quarterback knows the playbook really well. And so he knows where everybody's supposed to be. Well, that's this guy on the defense. But what he was trying to do, he knew what his role was, but he was so caught up in where everybody else was that when the ball's being snapped, he's still trying to get other people in their place. Well, the ball snapped, now he's not ready. And now he's trying to regroup and get back to, okay, I gotta go over and chase this guy, or I gotta go over and defend this, or whatever. So they told him, they said, no, your job is to call the defensive scheme and then get in position to do your part of it. Their job is to do their job. Your job is not to continually trying to get them to do their job. Now your job's not getting done. See? Is this making sense? Each one of us have a role to play in the body of Christ, and we need to, it's great to encourage someone else to do a good job at what they're doing, but don't get so caught up in what somebody else is doing where now you're trying to do their job, now your job's not getting done. See, God needs all of us, but he needs all of us in our place because that's where our grace is. That's where he has empowered us to flourish, is in our place. Amen? So God has put us there. Okay. So go to Romans chapter 12. Oh, thank you, Lord. Okay. Romans chapter 12. Hallelujah. I mean, no, God is good. Are you getting anything out of this? Come on. Hallelujah. I know even if it's something that we've heard before, try to listen with fresh ears. Say, Lord, if the Lord's having me bring it and he knows that you've heard it before, then there's obviously something he's wanting to get to you in addition to what you've already heard. And also to remind us. How many know it's good to have good reminders every now and then? Amen. I thank God that my wife reminds me of a lot of things. Yeah, she is like the backbone of this church. I mean, that woman helps keep me dialed in. And I thank God. The Bible says he that finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor of the Lord, and that is so true with her. Amen? And all the men should have said, amen. Come on. Amen. All right, here we go. All right, so Romans, look at this. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. It says, So, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. All right. Now I'm going to change a word here in another translation that uses this different word. So I'm going to put that word in there to kind of help you see what he's really saying here. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to present. New Living says give, but other translations, I think it's the New King James says, I plead with you to present your bodies to God. Right? Because of all he has done for you. Another translation says, because that's your reasonable service. That's your reasonable service. I mean, think about it. Everything that God's done for you, do you think he deserves to have anything back? Man, he sent Jesus to die on the cross for you. The only way you were going to escape hell is through Jesus, and he sent Jesus. And not only that, but I mean, then Jesus took all those stripes on his back so you could walk in healing. Man, he became your peace, your joy. I mean, everything that he's done, maybe we should look and go, wow, he really deserves some service. He deserves for me to give something back. You know, you don't hear it as much today, but you know, was it 5 years ago? You really heard a lot more about paying it forward, paying it forward, paying it forward, right? Well, I think it's important for us to receive all that he's done for us and then pay it forward. I think it's important for us to give back to him, right? Say, oh man, God, you've been so good to me. Yeah, I'll do what you want me to do. I'll help you, Lord. What would you have me do? What do you want me to get involved with, Lord? Yeah, I want to be a blessing. Amen. Glory to God. So he says here. He says. So dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to present your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that he will find acceptable. Amen. This is truly the way to worship him. Isn't that something? You're like, man, that sounds amazing. How do I do that? How do I do that, man? I mean, he gives you the answer in verse 2. Here's the answer to how you do that. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world. Don't copy the behaviors and the customs. Don't be like this world. Don't think like this world thinks. Right? But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. What if we begin to really focus on the scriptures and begin to learn to think the way God thinks? You remember back in Isaiah, he says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. Right? He wasn't going, I think I said this last week, he wasn't going, nah, 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 I think better than you do. God's never, that's not his attitude. That's not what he was saying. He was showing us. He said, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. He wasn't going, good job on thinking lowly. He was saying, there's a better way to think. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. Right? What he was saying is, come up and begin to think like me. Right? What if we begin to actually renew our minds? You know, and I know we say that we're renewing our minds, but what are we really doing? We read a couple of scriptures a week, and then we go out, and then we're inundated with the way the world thinks, and we wonder why we're floundering back and forth about, well, I'm trying to do the right thing, but man, everybody in the world's doing it this way, so maybe I should do it this way. No, the Bible says don't copy the ways and the behaviors, the attitudes, the mindsets. I'm throwing in a few extra words for clarity. Don't take on the mindsets of the world. But begin to think like me. I've said it often around here. We've got to learn to think. How many know the way you think affects how you act? Right? And what affects how you think? The things you pay attention to. The TV shows you watch. The movies you watch. The people you hang out with. The atmospheres you indulge in. I mean, all these things. Yes, movies can affect the way you think. TV shows can affect the way you think. You've got to be, I'm not trying to tell you, you can't have any entertainment, but you do, I am telling you, you need to be very selective with your entertainment. Because the people you talk to, the friends that you have, your friend circle, your friend base, the people that you allow to influence you, the things you, we talked about the grace of God, right? A couple of weeks ago, we were talking about how one of the definitions of grace is divine influence. God wants to put a divine influence in you. In other words, he helps you to do what you could not do without him, right? So you got to be careful with the things. I'm cautioning you here. You got to be careful with the things you allow to influence you. He said right here, how do you come to the place where you present your body as a living sacrifice for God? You're like, God, I am so thankful for what you did. What can I do for you? Well, first of all, you got to change the way you're thinking, because if you try to do something for God with a worldly mentality, it will never happen. It can't happen. So he tells us, he says, so don't think the way this world thinks. Don't copy the behavior, the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person. How? By changing the way you think. Well, if all these other things can influence you, And we talk about friend bases can influence you, movies you watch, TV shows you watch, people you hang out with. Got to be careful. I mean, you got to work a job, but you got to be careful not let those people influence you, right? If all those things can influence you, is it possible that, okay, maybe, well, if we're going to think like God, then we've got to have some different influences. So is it possible that maybe we need to get in our Bibles more? I'm just asking. Don't throw any stones. I'm just asking. I'm asking for a friend, right? Right? So is it possible that maybe we need to get some more divine influence? And we need to say, okay, so then, okay, if God don't want me to copy in the behaviors of the world, then what does he want me to copy? Well, Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 says, be imitators of God as dear children. So maybe we need to change to reach our destiny to even come to the place where we truly know what we're wired and what God's called us and anointed us to do and gifted us to do. Maybe we need to get the right influence, right? Maybe we need to focus on being, are you ready? Can you love me through this? Being at church when you're supposed to be at church. Yeah. Being under those godly influences. Right. Amen? Amen? You love me still? Okay. All right. Just wondering. Okay. But he says, so don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world. One translation says, do not be conformed to the ways of this world, but be transformed by renewing your mind. Well, how do you renew your mind? Well, if you go into one company, you work for this one place, and they had certain procedures, certain ways of doing things, and you go to another company, and this is what a lot of Christians do. They come into the kingdom of God, but they try to come in with a worldly mentality, and then they wonder why it's not working for them. Well, it's the same thing. You go from one company, you go over to another company. Well, this new company, they have a different set of procedures. They have a different way of doing things. I remember when I worked at Fleetwood Travel Trailers, and I became, you know, the department manager, the department leader of they were called group leaders, but department manager, you know, of sheet metal. And, you know, I went in there, and I started, you know, I looked it over, and I'm like, okay, all right, so this is how this department can run better. So I began to make decisions, and I began to shift things and move equipment or move people, right, to get them in where I thought they would be more successful at what they're doing. And I would switch them. And everybody's like, well, and I'm not going to call his name, but they would tell me, the previous manager, he put me in this position. Well, he's the one that moved that equipment there. He's the one that told us how to do this. And I always, every response, I had one answer on. I made it really simple for him, one answer. I'm not him. I'm not him. I have a vision for this department. I see areas where you can be better. I'm trying to help you to be better. And once they got over their attitudes, and because they could tell that I wasn't backing down and I was the one making decisions and I put them in those places, once they dropped all the attitudes, they were amazed to find out later that, wow, I'm actually enjoying this part of the department better. And they're actually getting more done and enjoying it, right? So we got to get rid of this mentality. Well, that's the way it's always been. That's the way I've always done it. Come on. I was just talking to someone yesterday, encouraging him with his relationship with his wife. And he says, well, I told him something that I recommend. Well, I just can't do that. I said, No. It's not that you can't do it. It's that you just haven't decided to do it yet. I said, you are a very smart person. You're a very bright, intelligent person. I believe that about you. I believe that you're well capable of making this adjustment, but you've got to be willing to make the adjustment. Are we willing to say, okay, wait a minute. I can't be what God wants me to be if I don't start learning to try to think like him. Because he told us to think like him. He said, be imitators of me. Right? Amen? All right. Two keys to finding your place. You guys ready? We'll get to that next week. Amen? I thought I'd get further than I did. But we'll get to those next week. Amen? Leave you wanting to give you a little sniff of the steak, but then you can't bite it till next week. Did you guys get anything out of this today? Man, glory to God. Stand up on your feet. I'm so excited.